Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app. Star One Credit Union, in your best interest.
From KQED.
Mic check, check one, check two. Are we here? All right, we're here right now-ish.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's me, Pendarvis Harshaw. This week on Right Now-ish, we've got a special episode from our friends at KQED's The California Report magazine. They've launched a new series called Mixed, Stories of Mixed Race Californians. It's hosted by two dope KQED journalists, Sasha Coca and Marisa Lagos, who are both mixed race themselves. Over seven episodes, Sasha and Marisa have honest conversations with other mixed race Californians about the challenges and joys of being multiracial. Ultimately, the series is a celebration of what it means to belong to multiple communities and how mixed folks are sharing their identities with the world on their terms. We'll let Sasha, Marisa, and their special guest take it from here.
Trying to make a way like a speedboat. We sliding like ski slopes for the love of the scenos. Only love my people, black and Filipino. Not to the police though, to them I'm a target. Stealing from Target. It be a whole city that I hate on your come up first.
That is the song Tenfinity from the rapper Guap. That's off his latest album, 1176. The album's named for the address of his family home in West Oakland, and the song talks about his Filipino and black roots.
Guap took kind of an unusual path to becoming a music star. His debut mixtape, Scamboy Color, from 2017, talks about the earlier time in his life when he was running credit card scams.
I'm a young scammer, 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 scammer. Of course I ain't wanna be famous. Now in the bag, I'm a falcon.
But after he lost money in those risky scams and saw his friends go to jail, Guap decided to devote his life to making music instead.
And he got his big break with three tracks on Dreamville's chart-topping compilation album, Revenge of the Dreamers 3. That was back in 2019.
And now he's based in L.A., where his career is really taking off. He's recorded with some of hip-hop's biggest stars.
That's right, including Oakland legend Too Short and Chance the Rapper.
He's also recorded songs for a couple of movie soundtracks, the 2020 film adaptation of Sonic the Hedgehog, and Marvel's Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Here's our conversation with Guap.
Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app. Star One Credit Union, in your best interest.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, Marisa. Hey there, Guap.
Hey.
Yo.
So, Guap, it's so great to have you on the show. I want to start with a question that we're asking everybody we're talking to for this mixed series. What are the words that you use to identify yourself and your background?
I like to say that I am black and Filipino.
And how do you feel about mixed? Do you use mixed or do you use biracial?
I like to keep it as mixed. I feel like that's the more comfortable title for me. And a lot of people like to go too much into biracial. I feel like it's just a little bit more stern.
Yeah, it feels very academic, totally.
Yeah.
So, Guap, you have a song about how your black and Filipino grandparents met called Stoop Kid.
Akeem Ali, Douglas Hayes. Shout out to Douglas for meeting my fine-ass grandma in the Philippines in the middle of Subic Bay because he was in the Marines. And he seen her and said, hey, baby, I need something in my pocket. Can you do that for me? And you know what she said? Uh-oh. Hella
Filipino, no English.
Do you want to just kind of tell us a little bit about that story? I think it starts with a ripped pocket.
Yeah, my grandfather had a rip in his pocket, and he's a merchant marine. You know, most military organizations are big on that uniform. So I guess he was just looking for a place to get it fixed without having to go through the proper motions of telling somebody that he messed his up. And he found a sweatshop, actually, that my grandma was working in. And that's how they met. And he fell in love with her and went back to that shop and courted her and really was trying to get her to come back to America to him. And once she agreed, he heard about this great place called Oakland, California, and they moved there.
And where was he from originally?
He was from the South, got roots in Louisiana and Georgia.
That's not unusual. Got a lot of folks in the Bay Area like that. So 1176, this album is the street address of your family home in West Oakland.
1176 is the address of the house I grew up in West Oakland. So shout out to West Oakland. Shout out to my grandpa, Douglas. It was a one-story, and my grandfather, who was super handy in carpentry and plastering and things of that nature, like all construction and home improvement, he actually raised up our house one level illegally to make it a two-story. That was like his project. I see my first love on this porch. I seen a weapon draw blood from this porch. We had a lot of fruit trees, a calamansi tree, which is a Filipino citrus fruit, lemon, lime kind of thing. A cherry tree, an apple tree got hit by lightning, which was super cool, I thought. And it was really like a cultural hub for the neighborhood, because my grandma would cook so much Filipino food, and we had an open door policy. All the kids in the neighborhood who had less, not that we had the most, but you know, my mom was hustling and providing, and my grandma was working hard as well. So we had a lot of food for the most part, and we shared it a lot. So that house was a home, not only to me growing up in it and not ever having another one, but to a lot of my friends, family, and people around us. My grandma had refinanced in times of desperation at one point, a lot of years ago. And when she did that, she landed on an adjustable mortgage rate. And that got really uncontrollable as people started moving in the neighborhood and gentrification started increasing. Like, redlining was clear, and I could see it unfolding, and I was really trying to hold on as much as possible. But my career just wasn't progressing fast enough for me to generate the income to pay for my career in L.A. and the house in Oakland and everybody in it. And, you know, I gave the help that I could. And my grandma was holding it down, and she just decided that she was over it. I think emotionally, everybody could feel the decline of it, and I wasn't there to be like the golden child anchor for people to like cling on to that glimmer of hope that I really represent for my family in times of desperation, you know? So without me there, I feel like things started declining emotionally for people, which reflected on the house and maintenance. And it only made it worse. When we finally let it go, we threw one last house party, because that's what we did. It was a crazy turnout. I cried the whole time, maybe like 13 hours straight.
Oh, my God.
I was so devoid of tears the next day. It was crazy. I was actually dehydrated. Even though I was living in L.A., I never moved. So when I lost that, I really felt homeless. The house was the house. That stoop was my stoop and my vantage point to all of the West, if you ask me. I could see the whole Bay from my stoop.
So you grew up with your grandparents, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And tell us about the role that they played in your life.
My grandpa, a lot of my creativity and explorative intent just came from his presence, even though he left me a bit early. And I could probably get everything else in my life from my grandma. Like, she is the most hardworking, sacrificial person ever. She doesn't have a selfish bone in her body. I actually want her to be more selfish. But, man, she's so great. I could talk about her forever and the things that I learned from her. I watched her work so many under-the-table jobs. It's just so much. The fight to get legalized and when she finally got her green card and all of these things was just a testament to her. Even dealing with cancer, breast cancer, still here.
I mean, it sounds like in a way your grandma was kind of like a second mom to you because your mom had you quite young, right? Like at 13. And so it sounds like your grandma really left a big imprint on you. And was that also a cultural imprint? Do you feel like she really helped instill Filipino culture in you?
As a kid growing up with my grandma, I'm Filipino. You know, it was like, that's just what me and my grandma eat. And I know it's kind of different, but like my circle got so used to eating, they kind of expected and look forward to certain dishes, pancit, adobo, things like that, lumpia especially. It's so embedded in me that it's just kind of, that is from the closeness of the nature of my relationship with my grandma.
Hmm. Well, I know you've talked about growing up going to church with your Lola, with your grandma, and you know, being a part of a Filipino church. How do you feel like you were treated in the Filipino community as a person who also had Black heritage?
You know, there was a lot of love inherently and a lot of acceptance, but there was also a lot of subtle racism that I feel like even the Filipino elders who I was receiving that from didn't really understand that it was racist. Like, I never played sports, but I got compared to almost every athlete, mostly basketball players. And I used to be so irritated by that because I don't know who these people are. I don't want to be compared to them. Or even there was even like light pressure to get me to try to play basketball. I remember one time at a picnic and it got weird. So it was little things like that that kind of built up over time, comments and assumptions. Now I know that a lot of my mischievousness as a child was because of ADHD and my inability to control it because of lack of knowledge of it. I'd fiddle around with something and get in trouble, and that was because I was the Black kid, not because something else was troubling me. So it's things like that that I had to deal with, too. Like, normal mental health issues get waved off as Black problems.
Yeah. Did your grandma ever talk to you about that stuff, or did you talk to her about it?
No. She did her best to defend me and stand up for me, and it was never, even if she wasn't really aware of what was going on with me mentally, she was holding me down.
So, Guap, you know, you're the son of a biracial mother, and we checked out a TV show you and your mom did on Fuse TV. It's called Made from Scratch. The two of you are cooking the seafood feast, and you end up having a real heart-to-heart about what it was like growing up mixed race in West Oakland.
Just being from West Oakland and being Filipino and Black and being biracial and, like, struggling with my own identity issues, I feel like you had to have even worse of a conflict.
Yeah, I did. You know, none of my friends was mixed, and it just was me and my sisters, and I got picked on a lot because I had long hair and I was light-skinned. Being different could be a good thing if you embrace it, but when you just have no understanding of it, period, you know what I'm saying? It's not. And I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
So it was really hard. And for a while, I didn't even like to tell people I was mixed, you know? Yeah.
What were the conversations like with your mom when you were little?
It was a lot more raw because my mom was younger and a lot more feistier. My mom was crazy. So, it was a lot more raw, but it was really the same sentiment. She was just telling me about all the fights she used to have. It's always crazy to try to talk about it because in the Black community, it goes, for real, usually the other way. The darker skinned ones of us are bullied by each other, and they usually don't like to entertain when it goes the other way because the darker skinned side has suffered so much. But I love that she shared that.
Yeah.
So it's been weird coming out and trying to advocate for Asian Americans and Filipinos, Pacific Islanders, and when I see people outside of even other Asian races that aren't Filipino interact with it, it's still so black and white. But that we live in the gray area. We are the gray area, so it is no black and white. Anybody mixed, I'm sure they understand what I mean by that gray. It's like my existence is so untangible in a way that you can format it because I am personally a unique fusion of two cultures. Every individual is so different and everybody picks up, learns, and takes their favorite from things. No basketball player plays the same way, you know? So everybody mixes. Nobody's mixed the same way, regardless of percentage, because culture doesn't have a percent.
Your mom mentioned like getting in fights and stuff. Like when you were growing up, how do you feel like you were sort of read in Oakland? Did people know you were mixed outside of your circle?
Other Blasian kids always knew, like we just know. So if they weren't like inherently Blasian or Filipino, because Filipinos also just kind of guessed it too. People mostly treated me like I was Black unless I grew out my hair and rocked it curly, and then it was like, okay, what's going on with that? But the texture of my hair didn't even change till I got older. Before, it was just normal 4C, I had a fro, you know, rocking it like that, cornrows, waves. Then the texture started changing as my puberty started hitting and it got a little bit more curly, so people would know more from that. But outside of that, I was Black. The police, that's how the police treated me. It was that.
Direct your attention right here to the court. Of course, in celebration of Filipino Heritage Night, you guys make some noise right now. Representing, he is Black and Filipino American. Give it up for the one and only Guap Dad 4000!
So, Guap, it seems like Filipino audiences do claim you as theirs, even if you're not always recognized for your Filipino heritage everywhere you go. You recently performed at an LA Clippers game for Filipino Heritage Night.
What are we doing?
So, Guap, I mean, what was that like? Was that cool to be celebrated on Filipino Heritage Night? Like, what did you feel from the crowd?
I couldn't believe it. I was looking up 15,000 people or something like that. It was a great vibe, and I was just super humbled by it, mostly, to be honest. When things like that happen, it doesn't even hit me till I get home. Then I just smile about it.
So that audience clearly loved you, but what does your Lola think of your music?
She didn't really want me to be a rapper, but once I started, she just supported instantly. And she don't like too much profanity. So it's not like she's playing a whole bunch of songs. But she definitely likes Chicken Adobo.
Half in love with you, it was beautiful. Like Chicken Adobo, how you feel me up? Being by myself is scary, but love is scarier. I'm just trying to make it in America. How I fell in love with you, it was beautiful. Like Chicken Adobo.
adobo, how you fill me up? Being by myself with love is scarier. I'm just trying to make it in America. Yeah.
Well, tell us about that song, Chicken Adobo, and yeah, how did it come about?
I was making this album with Illmind, who's Filipino as well, very well accoladed, talented producer, creative. And we were just kind of going over like Filipino goals. What do I want out of this project that we're trying to develop? And I was like, you know, I always wanted a song that the Filipino kids or the Pacific Islander kids or the Islander kids with the ukulele can sing at the talent show, because we all know they're going to do it. So I was like, I want to make one of those songs. He was going through some beats and he was like, you know, I have the perfect one. And I was like, man, this song makes me feel so warm. I want to make a love song, but if it's for Filipino kids, I'll talk about chicken adobo. That's my favorite food. Eating food reminds me of love, like that, the type of nostalgia I think about love for family. It's always food when I think about the old house, you know? So I was trying to channel that energy into the song, which is why I'm comparing the love of food to my love for this girl. Cause that's exactly how I fell in love with you. It was beautiful. Like chicken adobo, how you fill me up. Being by myself, love's scarier. I'm just trying to make it.
That's you performing Chicken Adobo in Manila. What's it been like for you to visit the Philippines?
It was weird to see people almost as dark as me, and they still be kind of confused. Like, it was so weird, because I'm like, bro, you dark as me. It's no way you need to be looking at me weird. You are dark as me. The wildest thing is people coming up to me and touching my hair. My grandma warned me about it before we got there. Like, people might try to do that. And I embraced it. I don't care. I was a cool kid. I wasn't, like, abrasive like that. It was always cool when people just walked up speaking Tagalog in a way, assuming that I completely understood it, because, you know, they'll try to talk slower if they feel like you're foreign or something like that. So I thought that was cool.
But you can understand if they're talking about you.
Mm-hmm. Completely.
Which people might not realize.
Exactly. I know every one of them words.
Love y'all. Y'all have a great day.
So you're performing all over the world. Your music has become popular in a lot of different places. But you've also had a couple songs on the soundtracks of movies recently.
I wrote the title song for the first Sonic movie on that soundtrack. I also got one on Marvel's Shang-Chi. I'm on that soundtrack. And it's in the movie, so I'm canon as an artist in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm in the MCU, y'all.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's one of my nerd, my comic book flexes right there.
Yeah, what it's like. House squad in the car, finna hop in, we mobbin'. Yeah. Leaving a sideshow to drop top spotless. Yeah. Baby, it's a check and a flex, not modest. Yeah. Going through my phone, I got a pretty girl problem. I don't think that you could save me. The Bay erased me. She wanna come and party with a groovy Asian. Who could blame you? Yeah. Frisco, yeah. Richmond, yeah. Oakland, baby.
I think I read somewhere that you were talking about, speaking of examples of like mixed people or mixed characters, you were talking about Miles Morales,
yeah,
and Spider-Man,
yeah,
right? Because he's supposed to be, that character's supposed to be mixed,
yeah,
black and Puerto Rican,
yeah,
maybe?
And I
yeah,
love it.
I mean,
I love it.
Like, what? Just tell us a little bit about your connection to that character,
man. It's Spider-Man. He bigger. He almost bigger than Superman. It's Spider-Man, y'all. Like, he is Spider-Man. And then we got an actual cool version in a great kind of main universe.
How am I supposed to save the whole world?
You can't think about saving the world. You have to think about saving one person.
With an actual great story, good art, And he got Jordans on? What? What? Curly hair, mixed problems, multiple languages spoken in the household. It's just so familiar, even though it's not my culture specifically. It just feels so familiar and so realistic that I love it. And I think that's why people love it. And he also got a little bit better Spider-Man powers than Peter Parker to me.
A little less pasty and less boring. Guap, you know, you have a lot of fans from all different walks of life. But I wonder, when you think about those little mixed kids out there, whatever their mix may be, do you have a message for them?
Yeah, man. Talk about it. I need all my mixed people to talk about it. Express yourself. Express your vantage point, your perspective. Listen to other people. Encourage them to do so. And put that in your art, especially to the artist. Put it in the art and let it become a part of your identity. I promise the more you are self-aware, the less writer's block you have. You don't have to make anything up or fabricate anything when you can fully tap in with yourself. So don't deny your art that.
That just gave me chills. We're over here crying. Thank you for sharing of yourself and, you know, just being so honest and raw. And, I feel like that's what we're trying to do with this series is just have these conversations that are real because it's hard and it's complicated. And, yeah, we're moving to a world where there are more and more of us and more kids who are coming up mixed.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this a lot, like, there's a sense of never being enough for certain cultures. But what are you supposed to do? Not claim part of yourself?
Yeah.
Right. And your whole, I have kids. And the other day I was telling Marisa, my kids are like, oh, mom, maybe my nose is my Japanese part. My hands are my Mexican part. I'm like, it doesn't work like that. You know, you're all one. You're not like a puzzle where the pieces are apart, you know?
Exactly.
You're one thing.
It's
whole.
I'm not a puzzle. I'm a picture.
That's right.
That's a bar. Right. I'm writing that down.
Man, thank you so much for sitting down today. This has really been an amazing conversation.
Man, thank y'all for having me. It's KQED. What?
That was dope.
That was Sasha Coca and Marisa Lagos talking with West Oakland's own musician, Guap, for the California Report magazine series, Mixed, Stories of Mixed Race Californians. Big thanks to Guap for sharing his story with us. Sasha and Marisa have plenty of more great interviews in this series, so be sure to check those out on calreport.org or search the California Report magazine on your favorite podcast platform. The California Report magazine is a KQED production. Their team includes Katrina Schwartz, Susie Racho, Jessica Carissa, and Brendan Willard. I'm Pendarvis Harshaw, host of Right Nowish. The Right Nowish team includes Marisol Medina Cadena, Chris Hambrick, and Seal Muller. Thanks for listening. Peace. Funding for Right Nowish comes from Akinati Foundation, supporting the development of powerful social change movements to eliminate structural racism.